Same translation. Text number 34, fourth canto, chapter 11. For this reason, my son, you should immediately pacify Kuvera with gentle words and prayer, and thus his wrath will not affect our family. And I repeat, for this reason, my son, you should immediately pacify Kuvera with gentle words and prayer, and thus his wrath may not affect our family. Purport. In our common dealings, we should maintain friendship with everyone, and certainly with such a cult of demigods as Kuvera. Our behavior should be such that no one should become angry and thereby commit a wrong to individual, family, or society. Now, there's one more verse that's just a conclusion. No purport, so I'll read it. Evam swayam bhuvakotram anushasya manurjavam sena vivandita sakam rishibhi swaram yayo. Thus, Swayambhuva Manu, after giving instructions to Dhruva Maharaj, his grandson, received respectful obeisances from him. Then Lord Manu and the great sages went back to their respective homes. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the fourth canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. So we heard all that chapter. And we heard a lot about anger, because Kuvera had, in spite of being liberated, had become angry. Now, you might question that. We heard how sometimes Prabhupada was angry. Of course, Lord Nisringadeva was angry. Right? But because his devotee was being offended. Prabhupada once said that Lord Nisringadeva's anger is transcendental. Mine is sense gratification. They teach us that generally anger is sense gratification, product of the mode of passion and ignorance. How does it go, the, you know, the different anger, the fathers and mothers, and lust, greed, anger, envy, they all go together. They're all the agents of Kali. We have one drama about these two, and Prabhupada saw that one in New York. You know, the Kali Yuga personified is there, and he had his children. Lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and madness. And all the children are fighting to prove that they're the most effective and promoting the Kali Yuga, which means illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, wars. So each, you know, each one is stating that how they're the most effective. But they all go together, because anger is a product of lust. Kama, Krodha, Asia. If I want something, I'm lusty for something, then when I can't get it, I'll become angry. That's how it works. Now it's a very big thing in the, I don't know if India has this, but I think so, because they have that topic sometimes at Chopari when they have the students come in, and the advanced people have anger management, you know, because it's a common thing. And so they'll tell people, like in America, they have what they call road rage. Someone's driving and then someone cuts in front of them and they get so angry they just smash the car. Sometimes they shoot them and they get out and start fighting. So sometimes the judge will say you have to go to anger management class. But they don't have the lust management class. So they can't manage the anger. You might learn to cool it down a little bit, but as long as the lust is there, then it's going to happen again and again. And envy also, and greed. If I'm lusty, but I keep getting it, then I get more and more and more greedy, more and more things. It burns like fire, right? Lust burns like fire. So the more fuel you put in it, the bigger the fire gets. Until finally, it devours you completely. Greed. You can't get enough. And then you become angry. So better to, Krishna says from the very beginning, we have to curb this all-devouring, sinful enemy of mankind, lust. So even Dhruva, who is especially dear devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, it's stated, Sanatana Goswami states that Krishna will favor devotees like Dhruva and Prahlad even more than the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they're automatically on such a platform. But like Dhruva and Prahlad, they had to work for it. They had to do so much, so Krishna especially appreciates that. Lord Chaitanya would read Srimad Bhagavatam daily, about 3 hours, Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar, he was an expert at reciting Bhagavatam. And they would especially read about Dhruva and Prahlad. Somehow or other, even though that's Bhagavan Krishna, Gadadhar and Lord Chaitanya, they like to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. Past time, meant much, much to be learned from Dhruva. Next chapter, Dhruva goes back to Godhead. And that's the result. He's already back to Godhead. He was totally absorbed. Somehow or other, he did become angry and overreacted to his brother being killed by one yaksha and wanted to take it out on all the yakshas. And that, of course, there must have been other yakshas that had been sinful and to show whatever about Dhruva and also to give a chance for Manu to give these instructions. Very nice instruction. Manu is the father of mankind. Swayambhuva Manu. So Dhruva comes in his family actually quite directly because Dhruva is very bad and such a yuga. Like we're also in the family of Manu, but quite removed. Right? We have so many ancestors. And most of them are not exalted and wonderful. Of course, all of us have really come into the Prabhupada's family. Like Garhari got here from IPB. His passport where it says father, it says they see Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So and Prabhupada, accepts us all of his family. So we want to learn to act in line with that family, not with our mundane family. I can remember when my father did like this, the way I was brought up, may not be very transcendental, at least in my case. But we have to look to Prabhupada and to the great devotees and these instructions are there, but different moods are there. Prabhupada's anger was different because not everybody you can ask, but I just heard Bhakti Charman was speaking in Mayapur, Prabhupada's appearances, so he was describing how Prabhupada was angry at him. He said how his mind would be shaking uncontrollably. But Prabhupada would make his point, then that was it. And he didn't get all high blood pressure and, heart attacks from it. It was just an exhibition to get a point across. and he was strong on the point, but it wasn't the same kind of anger that we have. We have to be very, very careful. Even when I was a child, they said, like, take 10 deep breaths or something, you know, right? If you get angry, before you say anything, you know, think about it before you swing, you know, before you react. And as a devotee, we understand that whatever comes in that phase, it's Krishna. We should understand that. And then Krishna is in the heart of whoever is insulting us or praising us, glorifying us, and we want to think, how does Krishna want me to react? And in order to know that, what do we have to do? How do we know what Krishna is like? Huh? Everybody knows, right? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us what he likes, what kind of a devotee pleases him, what kind of a demon, what are demoniac qualities, anger, pride, anger, all those things are the qualities of the demon. Like Ravana, from the very beginning, he was advised by everyone not to kidnap people. Then he was advised to give her back. He wouldn't do it. Then when the army was approaching, you know, the monkey army, Lakshman, he called his advisors again and said, what should we do? They said, give her back. You can't win. Vishnu, Supreme Lord. So he just blew up and said, you can't tell me anything, you know. If you don't tell me what I'd like to hear, then I don't care what you mean. So that's the demoniac nature. But a wise man can take good advice even from a low-class person, someone that he thinks is lower than him by whatever qualification you think is great, whether it's age or education or wealth, you know, fame. You know, different people value different qualities. Krishna has all of these qualities unlimitedly. He's unlimitedly beautiful. And his beauty never fades away. He doesn't get old. He doesn't have to, like, these big movie stars or people that are supposed to be, you know, their whole life is just their body. They do so many things to try to maintain that physical appearance. So much, you know, cosmetic surgery and haircut. But still, as they get old, they're not young and beautiful anymore. We had one very famous person in America named Elvis Presley. So his friend said that, you know, he just went completely mad because he wasn't young and beautiful anymore. Couldn't stand it. Couldn't grow old gracefully. A devotee has a mind because we know we're not the body, and we know, you know, ultimately we know we're not the body, and we're going back to Godhead, and it's natural that we grow old, the youth is gone. But the soul is always young. The soul is eternally young and blissful. Krishna's youth, he's ever youthful. He's the oldest, but he also never gets old. So that's something hard to understand, right? Materialist. Scientists can't cope with that. He's the biggest, he's also the smallest. How can that be? And in physics class, do they have anything like that? How can you explain that something is bigger than everything and smaller than everything at the same time? Right? That everything is within Krishna, and he's within everything that's within him. So materialists, they don't like to think about it. And Krishna's wealth is not limited. The stock market does not affect Krishna's wealth. The price of gold doesn't affect Krishna's wealth. Right? Nothing does. Because he's the proprietor of everything. And, you know, he's the creator of everything. He everything, no matter who else, you know, I may have 1,000 crores in the stock market and I may lose it all in one day, but Krishna still has everything. He doesn't just have paper, he owns everything. His intelligence never gets old, he doesn't get old and forgetful and, you know, senile and all the things that happens to ordinary people. His strength, his physical strength doesn't deteriorate. He's unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly wealthy, unlimitedly wise. What else? Renounced. And he's not attached to anything. He's not proud of them. He's renounced. He's not proud that he's so wealthy. He's not proud that he's so beautiful. He's not proud that he's so knowledgeable. He's always sharing it with everybody. He wants to give himself to everybody. But no one can ever. But people do, like the running guys. Everybody worships me. He wasn't. So Bhagavatam is teaching everything. And simply by hearing it, we're getting purified. Even hearing the Sanskrit, even if we don't understand it, we're getting purified. Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to get it to us. And devotees who work so hard to distribute this knowledge all over the world. And it's changing the lives of millions of people to get elevated, to realize, you know, that everything belongs to Krishna. That's real renunciation. Not that you have to live on the street with nothing, but you have to understand everything. Not everything really belongs to Krishna. And he wants, he's given it to me, and I have to figure out, not figure out, but find out how to use it in Krishna's service. Whatever I have. Not to throw it away, right? When I first joined the movement, and some devotees would come and we'd be talking to them and they'd say, well, I had a bunch of money or I had a car, and what'd you do with it? Well, I gave it to my brother, you know, because they came and heard the class you should give up everything for Krishna. So they just left, they gave it all away. And then they joined the temple, which is good. They could have given it to Krishna. But maybe that pacified their brother, their friend, and they left them somewhere. But use it for Krishna. If you're intelligent, you know, study Srimad Bhagavatam. Teach people how to understand it, how to apply it in their mind, distribute it. You know, if you have a marketing skill, if you have a master's degree in marketing, then market the Bhagavad Gita, market the human life, market the holy name. Give it, find a market, give it, give the sadhana. You know, whatever we have, if you're a singer, sing for Krishna. An artist, you know. Prabhupada, if anybody came that he's an artist, he would immediately assign them some meaning to them. He knew that this artwork was very powerful. But this kind of engaged so many artists and now here we have so many nice artwork. And then purifying everybody. Now we find BBT art all over the place, every country, many countries I go, we find it in different magazines and different posters and every, you know, people, Krishna is becoming more and more well known. Bhagavad Gita is becoming more and more well known. We want to imbibe it in our lives. Be grateful to the devotees like, that have worked so hard, like Chaitanya Swami, you worked so hard to give Krishna to so many people. And it's still effective. Now, all over the world, so many people are chanting 24 hours, chanting 64 rounds, even number of people are doing everything that, you know, offering to him. Radhanath Swami and his Prakrama, an everyday meeting and 4,000 devotees and prayers, you know, for welfare and offering and benefit of all these holy places, you know, to him. So we have to be grateful. There's so many devotees. We whoever gave us our first Bhagavad Gita and whoever told us to chant Hare Krishna. These are like gurus. Dhruva accepted the instructions of Manu, and Manu was telling him, you know, how to pacify Kuvera. It's not so difficult. Kuvera is also a devotee. We're not sure about the Yakshas, what their devotees are. Kuvera, but says in our common dealings we should maintain friendship with everyone. Krishna is the best friend of everyone, so devotees are also carrying Krishna, giving Krishna, so they're also the best friend of everyone. You want to remain friendly relationship. And certainly with great personalities like Kuvera, we should behave in such a way that no one would become angry and therefore commit a wrong to individuals, family, or society. Like Lord Ramachandra, here we have Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. He's the perfect king, Supreme Lord, but actually he's the perfect king. Shigornatai, Ramachandra, Pita. Krishna was also a perfect king, but he also manifested his Krishna Lila, you know, with many wives. Ramachandra, if he heard that a citizen was upset with him, then he would try to behave in such a way to pacify that citizen. He wouldn't just say, I'm the king, and you can't say anything. He would make that effort. So he was loved by everyone. Krishna was loved by everyone. So in ordinary dealing, of course, if we're dealing with a demon, then sometimes it might have to be something else. But if we make someone angry, then Prabhupada explained, even in the Bible, Jesus, you know, he told his disciples that if they are angry at you or criticize you in mining because you're preaching, then what can be done? You know, if some demon gets mad because you're chanting Hare Krishna and they don't like Krishna, you know, or they... We had demons in America when we were trying to distribute books, just take the book and just break it in half and throw it on and rip all the pages out and start screaming. So you can't think, well, I shouldn't preach because demons get mad. No, no. But if people get upset with us because we're doing wrong things, that's different. You shouldn't think, you know, I'm a devotee, so whatever I do is all right, I'm doing everything for Krishna. I can cheat, I can steal. This kind of mentality in Kali Yuga was always harassing. Our Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, my friend is one who criticizes me, and my enemy is one who praises me. So sometimes we think, well, I should criticize everyone, and then I'll be their best friend. I don't want to praise anybody because but it's not that. It's supposed to be that when we get criticized, we think, thank you very much. And if we get praised, we should think, no, 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 actually you're great. And, like Hare Krishna's great. And, but we should praise devotees, glorify devotees, try to encourage everyone in their service to Krishna. Not overly, you know, not falsely great, but if someone does service to Krishna, then we should be acknowledging them, making them happy. And that will make everybody happy, and that will encourage more and more people to come forward and offer service to Krishna. You see how many people are attracted to Krishna, and they're just rushing in here all day long, you know, just to get a little bit of Krishna, and some people getting a lot. All over devotees spending time with people looking at the book. I went went to Dadar Station one time, and Marathon time. It's just incredible how so many people go by, and many people, they go by so many times, and finally they look at the book, and then they go away, and then they look, and finally they buy it. Repeated association, it gets through to them. All of us, who we keep chanting, and we keep doing service, we keep trying, and we're getting Krishna, we're getting closer to Krishna. Krishna is coming closer to us. It's right there, as long as we're ready to accept Him, ready to take this advice from Mahan. Famous, you know, good advice. Speak nice words, offer obeisances, make prayer. So Dhruva thanked him and did what he was told. And then the next chapter, Dhruva goes back to Gaudiya. After living as a king on earth for so long, then he goes to his spiritual planet within the material, Dhruva. So it's very wonderful leelas and worthwhile to study and read again and again, discuss, see what, how he was so determined that he did tapasya. He took the order of the guru, he did tapasya, chanted the mantra, he worshipped the deity, and then he got the darshan of Krishna. And when he got the darshan of Krishna, then Krishna was insisting, you know, that, Lord, I want to give you something. No, I don't want anything. I'm completely satisfied just by seeing you. But Krishna still insisted, so he asked him that he could always remember him and always chant his name and be in association with him. He did the things the devotees asked. Good to ask for something. We shouldn't ask for sense-bending. Ask for devotional service. Ask for the association. Ask for service. So, any questions? Is there a question, man? Got a question?
Yeah. As you used to say, this dogmatism does not affect Krishna well, but it will affect the devotee. They cannot enhance more membership and life members and cannot collect more donations.
Yeah, these things have a seemingly effect on, you know, on us, but if Krishna remains unworthily wealthy, he owns all those things. Then what goes up must come down, right? So, like, when some people get very rich from the stock market. When it crashes, then certain people get especially make a huge profit. So they may come and give a temple of donations. So, Krishna, we get what Krishna gives us. You know, we work. We just carry on, we're trying to give Krishna to everyone, and Krishna is the controller of everything. But Krishna is not affected by old age, not affected by, you know, the devastation of the entire universe. Right? And the whole life of Lord Brahma is for him 100 years. For us it's taken 2 years. And for Vishnu it's one breath, right? But for Krishna, not even one blink. But still he's in control of all those things. Quite inconceivable. Alright? So, it's maybe not as many people are going to come up with the money for life membership, but a lot more people might want to surrender. Take shelter of the holy name. You know, realize that this material world is no security. Everybody knows that, but, you know, they're just ignorant. Sometimes we can take advantage and preach more. All right? Any other questions? We've gone late in the last couple of days, so I'll try to finish early. Coming up with Dhruva Maharaj, the guy that is there. Share no questions? You got
anything? Is the bond, are they acts of God or man-made calamity?
Which?
Bond. I mean, are they acts of God or man-made calamity?
Because nothing can happen without the will of the Lord. The material world is just war, you know, everywhere, anywhere you look. I remember once when I was, before I was a devotee, I was at somebody's house. I used to think the forest was like really peaceful and nice. And they had this book, and I wish I had that. I never would have thought to save it, but I looked through it. And it was just describing the forest, you know, and how the rain came, you know, that something was trying to cross the road and all these cars were coming and the rain came and all the insects have to find a place to hide and they have to look out to the birds and like everybody's totally fearful of something. Every living entity in the forest, the trees are fighting for the water, you know, and the big trees, you know, block the sun from the little guys and it was a high water. That's the material world. And the history of, when you study in school history, what do you hear about? This war, that war, this war, that, you know, one war after another. So the people war because they're lusty and greedy and angry. It's not that Krishna just decides like a video game or something, well, let's have a war, you know. It just happens because it's a reaction to everybody's lust, greed, and anger. Sometimes the war might be because some king's just very lusty and wants to get something. Sometimes they just want to get one princess or something, and it's war, it's history, right? Just for some king wants one girl, they have a big war. They make movies about it. Sometimes they're just greedy because another kingdom has a lot of wealth. Sometimes they're angry because they think the other king insulted them or the other king had taken their princess, whatever. Right? But it's nature of the material world. Animals don't have so much war as humans. They create everything on a much bigger. The animals are just struggling and fighting with each other for food and shelter. But it's really the same thing. But they don't normally gang up, you know, and create armies. And sometimes they do things. Alright? Even if we could make stop all war, it would still be for death, disease, and old age. The world is just that way. We want to get out from the material world. The act of God comes into the material world in so many different ways. For us, especially merciful in this age, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, you give us the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Alright? Thank you very, very much for your patience. Please take seriously reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We have this facility here with the library and hearing lectures. And when we teach the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn it better. So that's for everybody. Every devotee can find somebody to teach something. That's our business. Giving. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Dhruva Maharaj Ki Jai. Prabhu Manu Ki Jai.